Okay, today we're on Daf Kafes and the Moed Katan. That's the 22A. I'm going to begin on page 42 on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, the last narrow line. We went over this last night, but we'll go over it again today. So it says, Tanur Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, Avel Shoshayimim Rishonim, the first 3 days of Avelus, Bami Makom Karov. If a person came from a nearby location, so Rabbi Leibowitz said about 10 parsa. 10 parsa would be approximately 24 miles, and it was a 1 day's travel. So if he was not aware of the loss, he walks into his house, but he was nearby, and he sees them all sitting shiva, monei mahen. So he'll follow their account. In other words, they began the shiva, let's say, Monday. He walks in the house on Tuesday, but he was nearby on Monday, so he's still considered like he's part of the chevra there. Bam makom rachok, but if he's coming from a distant place, Monela Atzmo, then he has to go on his own count. In other words, he can't join them for the count. He's got to, when he found out about it, he'll begin a new count. Mikan ve'elach, from that point forward, Afilubam Makom Karov, in other words, from after 3 days, even if he comes from Makom Karov, Monela Atzmo, then he's on his own. Okay? So if he's Makom Karov, and he comes within the first 3 days, he joins them. If he doesn't join the first 3 days, he's on his own. And then if he's coming Makom Rachok, he's always on his own. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Afilu ba b'yom hashvi'i b'makom karov monei mahen. According to the Tan Rabbi Shimon, if you're in a Makom Karov, you always join them. You always get like a discounted deal if you're coming from Makom Karov. Okay, now, the Gemara analyzes the Braisa. Make sure I'm not missing anybody. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amarmar, Shoshayamim Harishonim Bami Makom Karov Monei Mahen. That if you came the first 3 days, according to the Tanna Kama, if you came from a close location, you'll join them for the count. Amar Rabbi Chibra Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hu Sheish Gadol Abayit Babayit. He says, providing that the Gadol Abayit, is like that, like either, the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, according to Rashi, means the oldest member of the household, or another Peshat is, that it's like the person who's running affairs. He's like, you know, everybody looks to him. He doesn't have to go this, but he's the one who's sort of running the show. So she's gadol abayit b'bayit. The gadol abayit is in the bayit. But if he's the gadol abayit, then not that way. In other words, he's going to be kovei in his own time. So the Gemara says he bayit. The question was asked in the base medrash. I'll make sure everybody's being muted because I hear some noises. So he bayit lahu. Now, this is a slightly different case where the Gadol, everybody was there. Everybody knew about the death. And the Gadol Abayit goes off to the Beit HaKvarot and is delayed there for a number of days. And then he comes back home. Mahu. So what's the halach in that case? Let's look at the Rashi. Whatever it was, till he got back, it took more than 3 days till he gets back. And we learned earlier that if the Gadol Abayit walks in the door, so he's on his own count. He's not subsumed with them, but here he's taking care of the whole funeral. So the Gemara says, Tashma, so we're on Chafei Zaman Aleph, the top line, okay? So Tashma, the Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu Alach Gadol Abayit, the Beit HaKvarot, Mone Imahem. So Rabbi Yochanan says that even the Gadol Abayit went to the cemetery, he's Mona Imahen. He gets to join the whole Chevra when he comes back. So the Gemara says Mona Imahen. He joins the whole Chevra. But we just mentioned the Braisa, Mona Latzmo, that he has to count on his own. Either if he comes after the 3 days, or if he's the Gadol Abayit, he's on his own. So it's a little kasha. So the Gemara says, Ata Ata Begot Lata, when we said that he's Mona Imahen, he's coming within the 3 days, and it's true he's the Gadol Abayit, but he was going to the Beit HaKvarot, but then he joins them. But if he doesn't come within the 3 days, then he's Mona La'atzmo. He had the Marlahu Rav, they had Slafoni. Like Rav said to the name Haslafoni, Haslafoni is either the name of a place or else a family. The Atu Begotlata L'nu Badaihu. The people who come within 3 days, they'll join you for the count. After 3 days, they're on their own. Rava said to the name of Chuza, Atun lo azlitu batar arisa. Now, Rashi explains, like in Babel, a lot of people would, then as now, would arrange to have the burial in Eretz Israel. So Rabbi said to the people in Mechuza, Atundla was li tubatar arsa, you who aren't following the beer, B-I-E-R, you know, the Aron to Eretz Israel, Mechima hadritu apayichu mibabadabula atundlumenu. From the time you turn your faces away from the gate of the city. In other words, you're accompanying the Aron just to the city limits. And then other people are following the Aron to Eretz Israel. So when you turn your faces away from the Aron, you're going home, it's like Gamarnu, then you begin your avelus at that point in time. So like Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, that's really like the case with Eretz Israel. You know, a lot of times you have people, they have the Kur in Eretz Israel, and part of the family stays here. So so the family that stays here, let's say they'll go to Kennedy Airport and the Aron will be in a hangar, and then they go and then they begin their Shiva at that point in time. And then other people in the family are going to Eretz Israel and accompanying the Aron and doing the Kura there. So and then so if they stay there, God, they do the count there on their own. But then if they come back, then it gets a little dicey when they absorb, you know, harmonia with the people here. So from this Gemara, it sounds like that if they would get back in 3 days, even if it would be the Gedol Abayit who had left, they would get the discounted rate from the people here. That's what it sounds like from this Gemara. All right. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I said so far?
So based on what we did now, what is the significance of being the Gadol HaBayit? I think it was just reduced, the significance, right?
So, no. So we said that if the Gadol HaBayit is in the house and then somebody is coming from nearby, so then
you go with the Gadol's count.
So then he gets the discounted rate. But if the Gadol HaBayit is not in the Bayit and then he walks in the door, so then he's Mona for himself. And he's Mona, he's on his own count.
Because he's the Gadol, because he can come from Haroth.
But then we had the case that's talking about that the person didn't know about the death till he walked into the door. That was the first case.
Okay.
Then we spoke about the case where everybody knows about the death and everybody's on the same page, but the Gadol HaBayit, let's say he's going with the Aron to Eretz Israel. So if he gets back within 3 days, there it sounds like he would join the people with their Shiva that's already in progress.
So his being the Gadol is irrelevant in that last case.
Right. That's correct.
Are you saying right to me or right to Yosef?
You're both saying the same thing.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear.
All right. Okay. All right. So I'm going to move on at this point. Yeah.
Okay. Rabbi, one more question. If there is an Evel that goes in his Eretz Israel and there are certain people sitting and the person comes and joins in America, he's allowed to in the middle of the Shiva and go another, and are the rules that he's going to Gedol?
Yeah, I can't hear you so clearly, Daniel. I take it you want to say that there's a Shiva in America and a Shiva in Eretz Israel, and he leaves the one from Eretz Israel and comes to America. Is that what you're asking? All right, you'll be here soon. You'll go.
20 minutes.
Okay. So again, so we said that if he's the Gadol HaBayit and he gets here within the first 3 days, it sounds like from our Gemara, he would adopt the count from the people here in America. That's what it sounds like. Okay, let's see you back in the Gemara. Okay, so the 10th line from the top, the two dots. Shimon Omer, Afilu Baba Yom HaShvi'im V'Makom Karo V'Onei Mahen. So according to the Tanya of Shimon, this is when the person walks in the door and discovers that there's a Velus. So according to the Tanya of Shimon, even if he walks in on day 7, so everybody's about to get up from the Shiva, so then that's his Shiva. His Shiva will just be a few hours. So Amar Rebbi Bar Gamda, Amar Rebbi Yosef Ben Shaul, Amar Rebbi, V'hu Shabau Matzah Menachim Etzlo. Provided that he came and he found the Menachemim near the Avelim. In other words, there's still an active Shiva going on. And in other words, the Menachemim are there. So the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying is, it's not so much the Menachemim are there, but the people are still sitting Shiva. He says, by Rabbi Anan, what if the people who are visiting are getting ready to stand up? they didn't stand up yet. What's the halakha? So the Gemara leaves that as the teku, it doesn't resolve it. All right, now, Yumiri chavrei de Rabbi Abba Barachia mi Rabbi Abba. The friend of Rabbi Abba Barachia had a mesora from Rabbi Abba, umanu Rabbi Zera. Who would that be? That'd be Rabbi Zera. So the first version is Rabbi Zera is going to quote this. But amri lo chavrei de Rabbi Zera mi Rabbi Zera. And the others say it was a friend of Rabbi Zera, heard from Rabbi Zera, and umanu Rabbi Abba brayde Rabbi Abba. That was Rabbi Abba. So it's either Rabbi Zera says this or Rabbi Abba says this, but I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Either way, it's Mesor from Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'treifot. Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that's Rabbi's father, by treifot. Halacha Rabbi Shimon b'evel. Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon by avelos. So Rabbi Shimon b'evel had the Amran. So we said Rabbi Shimon b'evelos, that's the halacha we just said, that if a person is coming from a close location, points to Tana Rabbi Shimon, even if he walks in on day 7, he would just do like a very brief shiva, and that would be it. It says, what does it mean? It's not. We learn in the Mishnah. If you have, if the intestines of an animal are perforated, and mucus seals it off. So the Rishlil holds it, the animal's not a trefo. So the Gemara says, my lecha, what is lecha on the mucus? It's like, you know, the sticky substance that comes out from the intestines, it comes out like when you press it. So Amar Mandahu, so somebody said, and Rabbi Leibowitz said, Mandahu could mean like just one of the two people that we said before, Rabbi Zera or Rabbi Abba. Is Keva Asik Agmar is trying to meet Pumi Demare. I want to be Zocha and go and hear this halakha from the one who said it, meaning Rabbi Yochanan would be. Well, here he's got it, it's going to come out to be Rabbi Abba, but we'll see. There was different versions in the Gemara. Again, we had in our Gemara that it was either Rabbi Zera said it in Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Chibar Abba said it in Rabbi Yochanan. But there's a different version of the Gemara where it was definitely said by Rabbi Chibar Abba. But either way, he goes there to Israel, Tisalik, Ashkel Rabbi Abba, Brady Rabbi Chibar Abba. He encounters Rabbi Abba, son of Rabbi Chibar Abba. So Amarle says to him, Amar Mar Halacha. Did you that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel by trefo? Because that's what you reported said. Amar le, ana ein halacha amri Rabbi Shimon. I didn't say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. I said pomfakert. The halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel by trefo, and that animal would be trefo. Small detail. He says, be'evel mai. What's the halacha by avelus? In other words, and Leibowitz said, like here he doesn't say, did you say by avelus the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, because he already heard that he wasn't what he had wasn't so accurate. So he says, what do you hold by avelus? So Amarle, or I mean, he says, ein halacha amri Rabbi Shimon by avel mai. What do you hold by Rabbi Shimon by avelus? So Amarle plutinu. So he says, machloket ditmar Rav Chisda amar halacha. Rav Chisda says the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon like we said above. Rabbi Yochanan halacha. Rabbi Yochanan says that way as well. Rabbi Nachman Amar ain halacha, and Rabbi Nachman says halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara. Now this is the Gemara summarizing the previous discussion. The ain halacha first was a little bit treifot. Halacha does not follow originally by treifot. So with that perforated intestine, that would be treif. He says, but halacha Rabbi Shimon by Eva. But the halacha is like the time Rabbi Shimon by Eva. It's the Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel said, and we've had this before. Halacha because Rabbi Meikel by Eva. When it comes to we always go by the leaning opinion, at least by Tanaim, and maybe later on as well. And here my focus Tanaim, so that's where we're going. Okay, who's your questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I said so far?
Just what you said before. If the shiva is for the avelim and it's considered a decent thing for the avelim, why would someone who joined right before people get up really not have to sit shiva? I mean, what drives that kind of shita?
Well, I guess it would be whether we view him as part of that chabura. In other words, do we view him as part of the group? That's what's talui with. So if we view him as part of the group, he's nigrari after the whole group. That's what the whole discussion's about. So it's saying that if a person is within one day's travel and he could have joined them, he could have been there, he's considered part of the group.
Right, but the guy who comes on the last day,
Yeah, I understand.
That's the one I don't understand. That
in other words, that it's his mishpacha, it's his chevra, so he's considered part of the group even though he wasn't there. All right. Let me sit back.
Now, Rabbi, when you mentioned that it is one day's trip nowadays with planes, and the 10 parasot that you mentioned in the old days, can we come and say today if it is within a day's travel, even with a plane? In other words, pretty much from anywhere, it's considered to be karov.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know. No. One second. All right. Okay. All right. I'm sorry, I don't have more information for you. Let me see this. Let me see this here. Let's stop there. Let me see this. Okay. Okay, I'll do this little piece he has here. We said the one halakha we had was like if you're not going to be involved with the kvura anymore and you're turning your face away from the aron, so you begin the shiva right there. And we said like people at the airport, they come back home even though the kvura hasn't taken place, they begin the shiva. So the case of the Gemara is where the deceased is sent to another city for burial, and Rava rules that the mourners who will not travel to the burial commence their mourning as soon as they take leave of the body. We shouldn't disagree whether this same halakha applies when the deceased will be buried just outside of town. Some of the relatives will not attend the burial. When does their shiva begin? Ramban explains that Rava's ruling applies only when the deceased is going to be transported to a distant city, because family members who remain behind remove their attention from the deceased, the Yashu, which is the equivalent to closing the grave. In other words, Ramban says, that's it, I have nothing to do with this, with the mace anymore, and it's finished, it's gamarnu, and so he begins the shiva. If, however, the deceased will be interred nearby, the relatives who do not attend the burial do not remove their attention from the deceased until they receive word that the burial has occurred. The shiva does not begin until that time. In other words, according to the Ramban, let's say the kur is taking place, you know, I don't know, 10 miles from here, and the people, they already, you know, turn their attention, you know, away from it. But they didn't, they're still associated with it, because if questions arise, they'll contact them. But it's when it's like distant, you know, so distant, I'm not involved with it anymore. The Baal Lachmi Dolet holds there's no difference between the case where the burial will take place far away or close by. As soon as the relatives take leave of the deceased, shiva begins. An extension of this debate relates to a case where the mourners and deceased did not begin in the same city. For example, if one receives a telegram or phone call that a relative died in another city and he has no intention to travel to the other city for the burial, when does shiva begin? So it means, let's say somebody is in L.A., he gets a call from his brother in New York. He says, it sounds so sad, he says, you know, dad or brother died, and the brother in L.A. isn't going to come to New York. With COVID, it's not hard to understand, you know, understand the situation. So when he gets, when does the shiva begin? Does he have, and the kura is going to take place next day. So does he begin the shiva now? He's got nothing to do with it anymore. The Nesiv rule that the leniency to begin shiva before burial applies only when the relatives were involved with the deceased in some way. Example, they accompanied the deceased part of the way to burial. But if they were never involved, they do not begin shiva until the burial takes place. So the Nesiv says, if I'm involved and then I stop my involvement, then the shiva begins. But if I was never involved, the shiva can't begin until the kvura. Rav Shlomo Mordechai Shvadron, the Marasham, disagrees and maintains that any time the relative will not attend the burial, shiva begins as soon as he receives a report of the passing of his relative. The primary trigger for shiva is when the mourner removes his attention from the deceased, which occurs as soon as the decision is made not to attend the burial. All right, I'm going to move on. All right, now, the next piece. Now, we're beginning three lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? All right. Now, the Gemara begins a very long brisa. So the Gemara is going to quote a few lines of the brisa, then have a discussion. Then a few lines of the brisa, have a discussion. You all know this. We've had this before. Then a few lines discussion. This goes on through the rest of the omelet. Okay? I'll call them 18 kulon for all, you know, deceased relatives. Marchemi tato, hareza meshuba, means if a person expedites the funeral, that's praiseworthy. By the parents, it's not. So the way Erev Shabbat or Erev Yom Tov raises Shabbat, but if it's a Friday, Erev Shabbat or Erev Yom Tov, then it's good to expedite even with the parents. She knows still it's Bodo Viva Imo. So the way I understand it, and Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned, you know, there's an essay in Alotas that buried the person that day. It says, Ki Kavor Tikvarena Bayomahu, and it says lo talinav lo tuol aitz. So you want to always bury the person that day. The way I take it, it means how much time do I spend with hespedim and other things that are going on. So for all of them, a mechamito, I try to expedite things and get it moving. I don't spend a lot of time with hespedim if I'm running the show. He says, for my parents, the person should try to have a lot more hespedim said. But even for the parents, if it's a Friday or it's the Ner of Yontiv, then you got to hustle. You want to get the kur in. Because speeding it up is the kavod for the parents. So everything depends on what brings greater kavod. Now, kolamitim kulan ratzam emayi beisko. For all the meitim, other relatives, if he wants to limit his business activities, he'll do that. Ratzah einam emayi. Otherwise, not. We'll explain shortly. Al avi v'al imo emayi. For his parents, he's emayi. Now, we learned already that malach is prohibited during Shiva. So what is the Gemara talking about here? If I can't do malach during Shiva, what is the point about being memai ba'estek? So there's a lot of different pshatim. One pshat is, let's say, would be malach davar ha'aved. I'm going to lose money, so then I have heter to do it during the Shiva. But it's saying, notwithstanding that, for for the parents, you should hold back from it. Or it could be talking about after the Shiva is over. After the Shiva, if you want to cut back on your business activity, you do or you don't as you choose. For your parents, you should cut back even after the Shiva is over. That's two pshatim. For other meitim, in other words, the divine meitim, there's seven krovim. So put parents in one side, that's two, and the other five krovim in another column. So for all the meitim, cholets here means to bear the shoulder. That was the way that they would show kavod for the meit. So you want to bear the shoulder, fine, you don't. For the parents, their kavod is, we don't do this anymore, you should bear your shoulder. There was an incident with one gadol hador, which the Gemara is going to identify shortly. Shemed Aviv, his father died. Ubikesh lach lot, he wanted to do chalitza here, bearing the shoulder. Ubikesh gadol hador acher sheimo lach lot. And out of sympathy, another gadol was with him, and he also wanted to bear his shoulder. V'nimna b'lo chalat. So the first gadol didn't do it because he didn't want to cause the other one to be demeaned, to have to bear his shoulder. So that's the Braisa. Now we're stopping the Braisa, and then we're going back to the Gemara. So Amar Abaye, Gadol Hador, Rebbe. So Abaye says, the Gadol Hador that the Braisa is speaking about was Rebbe. Gadol Hador Sheimo, the one that was with him, is Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha. That's the first version. The Ikeda Amri, others say, Gadol Hador, Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha. The Gadol Hador was Rebbe Yaakov Bar Acha. Gadol Hador Sheimo, Rebbe. So either Rebbe is like the main Avel, and Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha is accompanying him, or Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha was the Avel, and Rabbi was accompanying him. So the Gemara says, "Bishleim l'manda amar gadol ador shimo Rabbi." If I assume that Rabbi was the friend that was accompanying him, he says, "Hainu dinimna v'lo chalat." So then I understand the story. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha was an avelus for his father. He wanted to do chalitza. Rabbi's joining him. He didn't want Rabbi to be demeaned, so he didn't do the chalitza. But according to the other version, the Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha is the friend. And the main avail is Rebbe, my nimna of lo chalat. Why did Rebbe not do chalitza? If Rebbe is the main avail, why did he not do chalitza? And I understand, in other words, even assuming that the rolling rationale would be that I'm concerned for my friend, Rebbe Shemuel Nasihava. So Rebbe's father was Rebbe Shemuel Gamliel. Shmuel was the Nasi. He's head of the Sanhedrin. He says, not just the son is mechuyev to be mecholites, and not just the friend. Everybody's cholites for the Nasi. So according to the version of the Gemara, that Rebbe was the main avel, and Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha was the friend, and then Rebbe didn't want to do chalitza, you know, out of concern for Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, but how does that make sense? If Rabbi Shmuel is passing away, he's the Nasi. Everybody should do chalitza, not just those two. Everybody should do it. So the Gemara says kasha. The Gemara says that's a difficulty with that hesber. Now,
can you explain what the chalitza is again?
They would bare their shoulders.
So this doesn't apply to a woman.
It doesn't even apply to a man anymore. We don't do that anymore.
Right. So they literally bear a shoulder in sympathy, literally.
In other words, that was a siman of avelus. In other words, they have like the garments on them. They're like bearing the shoulders. Like it's like considered a siman of avelus. I'm not dressing the way I normally would dress. Okay, what's up? Yeah, so you have two countervailing policies. You want to give kavod to your parents, but you want to give kavod to the Talmid HaChachamim who were there with you as well. That's the tension. And that's what's taking place with this. He says, Winston, please, I need people to mute themselves, okay? All right. Now, so if you look at the top Tosfos, there's Masa Bigdola Dor, Ainza Masa the store. So Tosfos, in essence, answers your question, Yosef. So the Gemara says, in other words, Yosef's asking if the minag is to be cholay, to bear the shoulder, so how does Rebbe not do that? If the Gemara had an incident where he wasn't cholay out of concern for his friend. So Tosfos says, "Ein zaman said the story. It's not a ma'isa that contradicts the previous halacha. The hadanim nevelo chalatim the gedol hador shemo." In other words, the reason he didn't do it, not that he didn't want to do it, he felt it was a gedol hador, and he wanted to drag him down. Second smach b'tani alo v'ein ruim lachali kavod lo v'acherim haruim lachlo it's afal avi b'alima v'ein ruim and ino chalit yishli lachlo. Okay, that's what I'm going to go with this. Now, one sentence. All right. Now, let's see back in the Gemara. I'm moving on. Now, the Gemara says, okay, we're around 10 lines down on Klafei Zamadeis. All right. This is what I have here. Okay. Ha'kol ha'meitim kulam mistaper la'char shloshim yom. For all the meitim, after 30 days, you get a haircut. Al avi v'yalimo ad figaru bo chavirav. For the parent, the fact that 30 days have passed is not enough to cause you to get a haircut. You have to wait till people like reproach you, criticize you that your hair is too long. Now, I was talking to Rav Shechter today about this. He was saying, I think the Ramah says that you should wait 3 months, like he said, the Ramah says. What, say again? What? Wait. So say it in the way you're saying. Say what again? If you. Right. So that's what Rav Shatter said. He says that I think it's the Chasam Sofer. In other words, the Ramah says 3 months. So the Chasam Sofer makes a cheshbon, and the Ramah says 3 months. The Ramah is calculating that a person will get a haircut after 6 weeks. So it's saying that twice what your regular period of time would be. So in other words, you have to wait 30 days and then whatever that period is from the last time you got the haircut. So in other words, so let's assume with the way the Ramah is saying, so if the last time I got a haircut, let's say I get a haircut every 6 weeks. And now after the 30 days, now it's 8 weeks is my last haircut. So I have to wait another 4 weeks. In other words, because I have to wait double what my period of time would be. So today but sometimes people get a haircut once every 4 weeks, then 2 months. But, you know, I was talking to Rabbi Ezra Schwartz today, and people usually just say, like, it's, you know, if it looks, you know, too long, you know, then they criticize. But what it's not, it's clearly not 30 days get the haircut. That's clearly not the halakha. Okay, now.
There used to be a time they used to wait for parents an entire year.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that.
Halachot for parents for Abelud is a year.
Yeah, but not get a haircut. Where did you see this?
Rabbi Chaim, I remember it.
But show me where in the Gemara or Shulchan Aruch or anywhere where it says that.
We're talking about 1 year of
Abelud. I've never seen anything about the. Or Daniel was saying that you should wait a year to get a haircut after a parent. I said, I never say like this.
For the parents, okay. All right.
Okay. Now we're doing the Daf Digest. Because the honor that is due to one's parents, the law of mourning, much more stringent for an Avel who lost a parent than for an Avel mourning the death of another relative. and the Achik Ruch of Erev. Now, the Ramah writes that the minhag in our area is that an Avel mourning the death of a parent observes this law for the entire 12 months of mourning. A mourner for a parent should not take a haircut throughout, throughout the entire year of mourning until his friends try to buzz his long hair. Okay, the Ramah, citing the words of Ruah, writes that after waiting the required amount for the first haircut, one may be lenient in case of difficulty with regard to his subsequent haircuts, since according to the strict letter of law, waiting on Shubu Chavei Rav is only required for the first haircut. Otherwise, once I get the first haircut, well, that is as far to say that I'm that way. Now, for example, if one's long hair is very annoying, or he lives or works among Gentiles and is embarrassed by his unkempt appearance, one may take the second haircut even before his friends reprimand him. The Birkei, but the idea is that during the year you have an Issur, but nobody, I haven't seen anywhere that you have to go a whole year without cutting a hair. All right, now, the Birkei Yosef maintains that one need not wait until his friends actually reprimand him, but rather as long as he is certain that his hair is long enough to warrant reprimanding, he may take a haircut, even if his friends are not present to reprimand him. The Ramah writes that 3 months is the maximum that one must refrain from taking a haircut. An Avel may take a haircut after 3 months, even if his friends did not reprimand him. He says, the Maharam Shik argues that logic dictates that the 3 month period should be counted from the time of the Avel's last haircut, not from the time he became an Avel. So he says, he notes, however, that the wording of the Ramah and of the postgame imply that one must wait 3 months from the time he became an Avel. He rules that in cases of necessity, one may count 3 months from his last haircut, take a haircut after Shloshim, the first 30 days of mourning. I assume he means he had 30 days of mourning and then the 3 months. Now, the Igros Moshe, like Ramosh Feinstein, argues that one should wait twice the usual time between a haircut, which is what Rav Schachter said, Michael said. Okay, one who usually takes a haircut every 7 weeks should wait 14 weeks between haircuts unless his friends reprimand him earlier. And one who takes a haircut every 5 weeks may take one after 10 weeks. Okay, now, he says, the authorities write that these time limits pertain to cutting one's hair on his head. Listen, Ruth, you unmuted yourself, and it's very bad. Okay, now I'm helping you out. Okay, however, the time limit for shaving is much less because people shave often, and even a small amount of stubble is annoying and unsightly. Okay, now let me see if I have anything. Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, now let's see back tomorrow. Everybody think? So
I had a question. I had a question. With during the Shloshim, besides the hair cutting and the shaving, what are we left with Avelis in the 30 days?
We have more Gemara to do. Wait, be patient. Rome wasn't built in a day, Ruth. Hang tight for a minute, okay? Now, please, everybody hold off with the questions, okay? Well, otherwise, we're never going to finish them a second. Okay. Okay. All right. Now, let's take a look back on the Gemara. Now, let's take a look. Now we're near the small talent. Al kolam eitim kulan nichlas the beta simcha lafar shloshim yom. For all the eitim, after 30 days, I can go to like for a party. I can remember you asking Ruth, see, here's partying. Okay, this is after 30 days. Al avi bil imo lafar yubei chodesh. For the parents, you wait 12 months till you go to the party. So that's the brisa. Now we're going to discussion. I'm a Rabbi Barakana with a simchat mereyim. So Rav Rakhana says, when the Braisa says, I have to wait 30 days and then I go to a party, it's talking about not like a wedding, it's talking about Simchat Mereyot. It's talking about like friends. I'm joining friends. That's what we think. So Meifei, so we ask Tasha on Rav Rakhana from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, with a Simcha Ulamreyot Shoshim Yom, that for Simcha and Mereyot is 30 days. So Simcha, we think, means like the big super party. Mereyot is just like friends getting together. So the Braisa says, for both of them, I wait 30 days, and then I'm good to go. So Kasha, that's a difficulty with Rav Rakhana's explanation. Now, Ameimar Mani Hafi. Ameimar taught Rav Bar Rakhana's statement as follows. With a Simchat Mereyot, with Harli Kanesa altar, that Rav Rakhana said differently. He said that if it's Simchat Mereyot is I'm getting together with a few couples or a few friends. So, and we're eating, that's Simchat Mereyot. So he says, I could do that immediately. So even after the Shiva, I could do Simchat Mereyot. It says, Va'atanya the Simchat Shloshim. But in the Braisa, we learn that you have to wait 30 days for the Simcha, Mereyot Shloshim. And for Mereyot, you also wait 30 days. So I was with these teaching right away. I could join my friends, I have to wait 30 days. Lo kasha, there's no contradiction. Haba Risuta, Haba Puranuta. So the way, again, there's different shatim on all these gemaras, but one shot is that, let's say I have my own social circle. So in this social circle, the people have little meals, one person, like Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, we go house to house. So if this is the first party that I'm attending, so then I have to wait, the 30 days. But if I already went to a party, and now I have to pay back this party, so that I could do it even before the 30 days. When I say party, it's like a social gathering. I should say a social gathering. In other words, they did it at his house, now it's my turn to do it at this house, so I could do it even earlier. Okay, so again, you asked me if Ruth, are you still there, Ruth, or gone? All right, Ruth went away.
She's back.
Yeah, so we said for everybody else is 30 days, for the parents it's 12 months, we said. Right, that's correct. Simchas Moreas. But from this Gemara, it sounds like if it's Pur Anuta, right. Correct. Now, so anyway, so Ruth, with me, so social gatherings is one problem during the 30 days. And there's also an issue of laundering clothes during the 30 days and haircuts we covered during the 30 days. And I think even cutting nails during the 30 days. And then what else during the 30 days? And that's also connected to the partying. Okay, now, I'll call a meitim kulan, korei tefa. And we're back to the brisa. For all the meitim, one has to rend his garments one tefa. A tefa means like a fist, but they usually say like 4 inches. Al aviv yel imo, ashigel el imo. For a parent, a person has to rip till he reveals his heart. So we'll see in a minute. So amrivao mikro, that's the end of the brisa. Now we're back to the Gemara. Amrivao mikro, what's the pasuk that supports the halacha? This is after David Melach hears about the death of Shaul and Yehonatan. So he grabs his garments and he rips them. So the Gemara says that achiza, if I assume that a tefach is like a fistful, he's grabbing the garment by his hand and ripping. So the Gemara assumes that he ripped it for a tefach. Now, back to the Braisa. I'll call him making kula and afil lavusha surah halukim. In a Korea El Elyon. So by all other meitim, again, we have the 7 krovim. So we have parents and the other 5. So even a person is wearing 10 halukim, means 10 garments, means their garments were like long gowns, like think of a sack with a hole at the top of the sack, or, you know, I don't want to say quite like this, but like a garbage bag with a hole at the top, and then that's the garment. So even if he's wearing 10 halukim, he's got 10 of them on top of him. So he says he just rips the outer one. For his parents, he has to rip all the garments. We'll see in a minute. Now he's not mechuyev now to rip the afar keset. So we did this in the Chumash here, but there's different shatim on afar keset. So Rashi here says it means like this kerchief that goes down over his head and onto his garment. But another pshat which the Mechaber brings down. Is the afar keset is either the beged elyon or the beged hazeah. So it's either like the undershirt or it's the overcoat. So we're making both ways. So if Rachman and son, a person is sitting avelos for a parent, so he has to rip, you know, his jacket. If he's wearing, you know, a suit jacket, he's got to rip that. Then he has to rip his shirt. But he doesn't have to rip his undershirt, and he doesn't have to rip his outer coat that he doesn't have to rip. Right.
Spardin don. Ashkenaz Chabad.
Right, it was so Spardin don.
That means we hold that it's like that.
Wait, I'm losing it.
You hold this is out of the garment.
That's what Spardin hold. I got to check this out. Is that the case? All right, I'm not sure. I have to check this out. All right, but that's the way because it's clearly not that way. So that's why I don't understand why they would say it that way. In other words,
imagine you're not wearing your coat and this is your outer.
I'm saying you wear these garments inside. You're inside right now. You're wearing a jacket, right? So that's not
in the winter. The summer.
It's not a beged elyon.
In the summer, it is.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Anyway. But let me. All right. Anyway. Okay. Okay, Daniel says that Sfardim don't rip the jacket, but all right, but
I just think that people that
All right. Daniel's going to look into it more. All right, but
is the kriya a daraisa or a darabana?
No, remember we said it's a din darabanan, a din darabanan. Okay.
Right. Now, quoting the pasuk from Navi.
It's an asmata. Okay.
Do you see any kind of logic as to extensive laundering of clothes that have anything to do with all the other?
Okay, wait. Let's put laundering on the side. Let's talk about kriya right now. What's the Gemara? Okay, let's. I'm not talking about laundry. I'm talking about kriya. Okay, let's put it kriya. So the Gemara says, "Afkuso enam kevet." Now the Brisa continues, "Echada ish v'echad isha." So are the dinim of kriya applied to men and women, or the din of the Afar Keset applies to men and women, right? That's what he has there, right? Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Aisha Korada Tachton. Shimon Elazar says the woman, now woman, you get into sneeze issues. If she's going to do Kriya, it's going to turn the Shiv into something totally different. So the Gemara says, the Aisha Korada Tachton, a woman rips the undergarment, Umachasi Ratola Acharem, and turns it around behind her. And then she turns into the cover. So imagine women are wearing like the same clothes as men. You got like the sack over you. So she's wearing one sack on top of the other sack. So she cuts the undergarment and then flips it behind her. And then what does he say? Let me see what he says. He says, then she cuts the upper garment. So in other words, the holes don't line up with each other. That's the idea. You got it? In other words, you make the cut in front of the body. So she makes a cut on the undergarment, you know, and then flips it back, and then she makes a cut on the overgarment. Okay. Now today, at least this is just from what I've seen, is like women, they'll have like a garment that's ripped, you know, but more, you know, try to like with sneeze. So you said, we'll see in a minute. We'll see which way this is going. Now, Akulamatim Kulan, Ratsam Abdil Kami Safashalo. So there's different ways to understand this line of the Gemara, but one way to understand the Gemara is that for the other Meitim, he doesn't have to, in other words, the halacha is you cut always from the base at Tzavar, from the neckline is where the Kriya has to take place. So here the Bryce is saying, according to one way of understanding it, is for other Meitim, I don't have to cut the from the neckline, I could do cut in the middle of the garment and then, you know, make a hole in the middle of the garment and go down. He says, but but for my parents, it has to be from the neckline. He says, Rabbi Huda Omer, so Rabbi Huda says, and you see this halacha, that any kriya that you don't cut through that hem, that neckline, so that's not considered a real kriya. That's a kriya like of tiflos. It's like a meaningless kriya. Now, all right, that's the quote from the Braisa. Now back to Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abahu, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda who says that every kriya has to be from the neckline, the chiv, by a chasek v'gadah, by kraim, the shnaim kraim. So this pasuk is talking about Elisha. Elisha is a student of Eliyahu HaNavi. And then he sees Eliyahu HaNavi go up to Shemayim. So when he sees that, so Elisha grabbed his garments and he ripped them into two parts. So the Gemara says, "Mimash v'shinemar v'ikraim." Once it says that he ripped them, don't I know that it's in two? How do you rip something that's not into two different pieces? El shenirim kruim kishnayim. He ripped it in a way that it was apparent to the viewer that it was in two pieces. So, meaning, according to this pshat, if I make a hole in the garment, I rip it, it's not so clear, somebody sees me, that it's ripped. In other words, if the garment's ripped, I have a hole in the middle of the garment, I rip it down, so that there's an open seam there, but it's not so clear to the viewer that it's ripped. When I rip it from the neckline, then it's clear that the garment is ripped. So that's the proof that he has that way. Now, and again, I should add on, you know, the halakha is that the Avil himself, or herself, has to do the kriya. So typically, you know, your local competent Orthodox rabbi will start off the ripping, and then say, you know, he'll do the bracha dana emes with the avel, and then tell the people to do the ripping. Now, Rav Schechter, I was talking to him today. He was saying with the lapel, again with the parents, it's actually galat libo. So if a person has a lapel, so some of these people just rip the lapel, but then underneath the lapel, in other words, there's a fold in the garment. You understand what I'm saying? Like the lapel folds over. So sometimes people just rip the lapel and they don't rip what's underneath the lapel. Come on, we'll take Daniel now, we'll rip his garment. Anyway, so he says here, so he's saying that, but Anshigal Libo, you have to rip the part that's underneath. It was Anshigal Libo. All right. What? What?
Answer of the Mishnah. You wrote the book on Avilut.
What did he say?
He said that by Sephardim, we do not read this.
Daniel says that Sephardim don't rip the jacket. He says he has confirmation from Rabbi Ben Chaim's son.
Who wrote the book on
What's his first name?
Abraham.
Okay, from Rabbi Ben Chaim. Okay, let's see.
Also, I've seen many people, they cut from this area as opposed to the
No, that
it's a mistake, according to everybody.
But parents are talking about
for parents.
First one, no, it's for everyone. We said it has to be from the neckline. No, we said, but then we said the halakha is, according to we passing like Rabbi Yehuda, so it should always be from the neckline. So I don't think that's the way it should be done. I think it should be from the neckline. Okay, now let's take a look back on the Gemara. All right, now we're around 15 lines from the bottom. Okay, so I'm Rabbi Abahu. This we did already. Now the Gemara says, okay, now we're back around 4 lines above because it's wide. Akolamitim kulan sholel achar sheva umachel achar shloshim. It means by all the meitim, again, you have the 5 and the 2, the 7 of Balaam. So besides the parents, sholel achar sheva means I could sort of like stitch it together in artful way, like just kind of put it together haphazardly. He says umachel achar shloshim. But then it was after the sheva, I'll just fix it something to hold it together. But then ma'acha is when I sew it together, it's like good as new. That's after shloshim. Al aviv yel imo sholel lachar shloshim. For a parent, you have to stick it together after 30 days. Ve'inu ma'acha li'olam. You can never sew it back to the way it was originally. Okay.
The latest option is going to happen.
Okay.
It's better than
that. The ha'isha sholaltala al termnei kvoda. But a woman could do the shlila immediately, and this sounds like even during the shiva because of her kavod. So this could be, so you would ask me about the women with the ziyah. So one way to explain is this Tana doesn't hold from Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Shimon Elazar said that the woman's going to rip, then flip it over, and then rip in the front. This Tana could hold, she's going to rip, but then she'll sew it back up really, shortly to put out of her kavod. All right, now the last narrow line. Yata Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Israel, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Akolam Meitim, Ratah Kurei B'Yad, Ratah Kurei B'Kli. By all the Meitim, if you want to rip with your hand, you do it. You want to use a Kli, you can do that as well. Al Avi B'Yal Imo B'Yad. But for a parent, you have to do B'Yad. Obviously, B'Yad is more meaningful. But I'm Rabbi Chibar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Akolam Meitim, Kulan B'Mifnim. All the Meitim, you rip B'Fnim. It means, in a way, it looks more hidden. In other words, I can rip in an area where it's not Anshigal Libo, but it could be like it's not apparent to the viewer. So Mibifnim can mean either that that people don't see it, or Mibifnim can mean when I do it, I don't do it in a public fashion necessarily. But for the parents, I do it publicly, and it has to be apparent that it's done. Okay, now I'm Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, "V'chein the Nasi." The Nasi is the head of Sanhedrin, and we do kriya of the Nasi. You do it in a public fashion. So, okay, now the Gemara says Meifei. So this we ask Kasha from the following Brayta. Let me just see what I have here. One thing. Okay. All right. So now he says here. Now Meifei, he says, "Lo hushru la biblimo." So this Bryce says, so we just said that I have to do it mibachutz, either do it publicly or that it should be apparent that we're doing it. So this is kind of a Bryce that we're going to have on Daf Chafav, which is Monday's Daf. If you want to look at Chafav Amin Aleph, look at 26a, Chafav Amin Aleph, top line. It says, the following you know, rips or tears can never be sewn back. Hakriel avivimo for parent. Yel raboshlim lo Torah for person's Rebbe who taught him Torah. Yel nasif the nasif yel abeitin. Yashmur ha-ra'ot. Like you heard terrible news. He says yel birkat Hashem. You heard somebody like Hashem, curse Hashem. Yel sefer Torah shenisra. Yel reyudav yel mikdash yel Yerushalayim. Anyway, but the point is that he has a whole bunch of rips that you can't do ichui. So back to our Gemara. Oh, please wait 3 minutes, okay? Now, the Gemara says on the third white line, he says, Meite, lohushu la'avivu li'imo, that when it makes the equivalence and the comparison to the father and mother, ichui b'vad. The only thing, it's the only din that it's the same is in terms you can never do ichui. So also, you can't do ichui. But here, we're saying that Chayla Nasi has another halacha, that it's also that the ripping has to be done in a public fashion or apparent. So my love of people that I see, is it not, doesn't, is that Bryce not saying that even with respect to the Kriya for the Nasi, it's only that you can't do Ichui. No other dinim are the same as the parent. Lo, Labar Minasi. It could be besides the Nasi. So it says, Lo, Hushbu means everything else that was, we listed a whole bunch of things you can't do Ichui. The Nasi is equivalent to the parent in every way. Okay, now, Nasi Shachiv, the Nasi died, Amali Rav Chista, either the Rav Chanan Bar Rava or the Rav Nachman Bar Ami, Tafi Yasita, flip over like this mortar, like this large bowl, you flip it over and stand up, the Kumala, the Achve Krila Alma, and demonstrate the Kriya to everybody, so everybody will realize that they have to do like a very public Kriya when the Nasi passes away. Al Chacham Choleitz Miyamin. When the Chacham passes away, and Rashi says, Munal Yershva Shimon Horai, he's the rabbi of the city. So when he passes away, Choleitz Miyamin. So a person bears the right shoulder. He says, Al Av Beitin, the head of the Bezdin, is Mismol. Al Nasi, if the Nasi passes away, Mikana Mikana. We have a Gemara here. You can do with this, realize with us, okay? So with 3 lines from the bottom on Chapez and Beis, we're talking about Kriya, okay? This is Al Nasi, Mikana Mikana. The Nasi, you bear both shoulders. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan, Chacham Shemei, when the Chacham dies, Beit Midrasho, Batel. So his base Midrash is Batel. It was, they're like, shut up, and they're not doing anything. Av Beitin Shemei, this is page 44, Chapez and Beis, 2 lines from the bottom. Av Beitin Shemei, if the head of the Bezdin dies, Kol batei medrash to be robatel, and all the batei medrash in the city are closed up. Then if nasin the beit haknesset, and everybody comes to the shul, umishanin et mekomon, everybody changes their makom. They're all avelim because Av Bezdin has passed away. Meaning hayoshkim b'tzafon, it's a good time to get a new seat. The people who would normally sit in the north, yoshkim b'darom, they'll sit in the south. By yoshkim b'darom, the people who would sit in the south, yoshkim b'tzafon. Then nasi shemeid. Now that I see the head of the Sanhedrin dies, Batei Medrash showed Kulan Batelin. All the Batei Medrash, it sounds like all over the place, are closed up. Ubenea Knesset Nechnasila Bene Knesset. People in different shuls entered their shul. Top line, Chav Kimel Medalef, 23a. The Korin Shiva, in other words, they're not going to have a minion anymore. So they're walking into the shul on Shabbos. Everybody's in Shiva because the Nasi passed away, is what he's saying. So they walk into the shul. The Koran Shiva. So they'll take out a Sefer Torah and read the Kriya to Torah. He says, V'yotzin, and then they leave because they're all in Avelim. He says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer, Lo Shilchu B'Talib Shuk, doesn't mean that they're going to go and take a whole Shpatzir and enjoy themselves. Ela Yoshvin V'Domin, that they sit and they're in silence. It's like terrible calamity that Masih has passed away. Then, now this halacha, again, there's different ways to read these braces, but one way to read it is a general you don't say Shmua like a halakhic discourse in the Beis Ha'avel, and you don't repeat Agada in the Beis Ha'avel. Amru alav Rav Hanani ben Gamliel she'omer Shmua v'agada b'leda Avel. But they said Rav Hanani ben Gamliel that he did not do that way. He did say Shmua and he did say Agada in the Beis Ha'avel. All right, now let me just see a little bit. We'll do a story and this will be it. One second. Okay. All right. Well, I didn't read the story yet, but we'll try it out now. Someone once asked for Moshe Sternbach Shlita, if a person failed to hear a few words from the Torah reading, does he have to hear it in another place, which is landing later? Rav Sternbach responded, The Arizal spent a long time in Galus, and he davened his own meaning without hearing Prisa Torah, since he didn't carry around a Sefer Torah with him in his wanderings. He held that only a tzibur is obligated to read publicly, and a tzibur not in its place is not obligated in this. Anyone who is together with the community when the Torah is read fulfills this mitzvah, but the obligation is on the tzibur. He continued, even though everyone has to become part of a tzibur to hear the reading on Monday and Thursday, this is actually more strict than davening on the minyan. Someone who didn't hear every word on those days doesn't have to exert himself to hear it again. The reading is merely in the Takanas Ezra, just by being part of the minyan and making an effort to hear when discharges its obligation. There's no duty to make an effort that goes beyond the norm to hear. Exceptional proof that every individual has an obligation to hear the laning is in Moed Katan, the end of Safez Mubez. We find that if Nasi dies, the people must enter the synagogues to hear the reading. Despite the fact that, as Rashi points out, everyone has already prayed at home, the people must nevertheless gather together to hear the reading in shul. The Bir Halacha proves this from the fact that those who live in the villages would come to town on Monday and Thursday to hear the reading. Anyone who joins with the tzibur fulfills his obligation, even if he didn't hear every word, provided that he doesn't allow himself to be distracted purposely. In that case, as if he isn't joined with the tzibur to hear the reading, and he must find another tzibur with whom he can join. Rosh Terman concluded, I believe that this is the custom even on Shabbos. One who missed words unintentionally doesn't make them up. So it's really totally, this is a different issue totally. It's really, didn't increase the Torah. Is there a chiv of priest Torah is just on the tzibur, or is there a chiv on the yachid as well? So the Rav was like in the Brisker household, they were mocked. And I know Rav Orner has said, and the Beis Halevi, he would travel them by trains, and that he would make it, and sometimes he would miss the minyan. He would always make an effort to get a minyan together, so he would hear Kriyas Torah. Anyway, but this thing, the other school of thought is, you know, you're not with the minyan. Okay. I'm sorry. Now, let me just end the recording. I'll talk to you one second.